Birdsong by James Saunders, with Dinsdale Landon, Nigel Hawthorne, and Beth Porter.
Squawk! Squawk!
Here we are again, here we are again. The start of another lovely day.
Do they call this cage swept up? I mean, look at it. Spit and a lick, they do nowadays.
Pretty boy, pretty boy, pretty boy. Who's that pretty boy then?
Have they wiped the mirror?
Somewhat.
Oh, it's not good enough. And shit on my perch still. Look. Pretty oh, well, I'll see you in the shop this morning. Oh, look at this bread. Hard as a rock.
Pretty boy, pretty boy. Who's that pretty boy? Listen. Here's an idea. How's this for starters? Discuss the following. If you looked in this mirror and didn't see anybody there, would you assume, A, you were invisible, B, the natural laws had gone on the blink, C, you were deluding yourself, or D,
I was a vampire?
Yes.
Are we discussing already before breakfast?
At your convenience.
All right, here we go. Since I don't believe in the impossible... wait a minute.
Go on.
That's tautology. It means nothing. The impossible is, by definition, unbelievable in.
No, it's not.
Of course it is.
No, it's not. Not if you believe in the impossible.
What?
If you do believe in the impossible, and what's to stop you, it can't be unbelievable in.
Oh, you're right. I'm wrong. The impossible isn't unbelievable in. It doesn't sound right. I mean, where am I making my mistake?
You want me to tell you?
Yes.
You assumed falsely that belief is rational, but there's nothing to the bit irrational belief. You introduced the false assumption by giving a false definition of the word impossible. And moreover, an imprecise definition. It was that imprecision which allowed the error. A common trick I soon saw through that.
Well, go on.
Well, you said the impossible is by definition unbelievable in. What do you mean by unbelievable in?
Not open to belief in.
By whom? By absolutely everyone? Or by one, meaning the generality? Or by you?
Ah, yes. Oh, we're fishing in very treacherous waters.
Yes, we are, but we must keep our heads. It'll help, I think, if we draw a distinction between what is or is not impossible, which concerns the phenomenal, and what is or is not the meaning of the word impossible, which is semantics. Now, I take it we're dealing with semantics, that is, that for present purposes, meaning and definition are synonymous. Fair?
I'll accept that.
Splendid. So, what is your definition of the impossible?
Wait. Now, you're saying my definition rather than the definition.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that begging a question?
Your definition of the definition, what's the difference?
I don't know.
Well, what is it then? What everyone finds unbelievable in, what the generality finds unbelievable in, or what you personally find unbelievable in?
Good Lord. Everyone.
Oh, come now.
No, you're saying that it needs only one individual to believe irrationally in the possibility of the impossible to render the definition invalid.
You've hit it.
The generality there. Oh, I am enjoying this. The impossible is what most individuals find impossible. Not possible. Except to be not possible. No, it still sounds like a tautology.
But it still leaves open the possibility of an irrational belief in the possibility of the impossible.
Yes. Are we going round in circles here?
My round, I think.
Let me try another tack. I'll grant you the fact that the statement, the impossible is by definition unbelievable in, is not necessarily true. Unless the definition of the word definition includes implicitly the rider, a definition is valid only for those who accept its validity, i.e., the generality. But it is still for them valid if somewhere there is some idiot who doesn't.
What?
Accept it.
The definition of a definition.
No, the definition.
Ah.
The said idiot then falls outside the scope of the definition. We, so to speak, wall it off from him. In this way, the problem of universality is solved not by an expansion of the definition to cover all possible cases, but by constricting the universe to fit the definition.
Mm-hmm.
Then, if someone does not find the impossible beyond belief, the impossible he does not find beyond belief is his impossible, not ours.
Mm-hmm.
Is, in fact, what we would call the possible. So, from that point of view...
Yes. I take the point.
Neat.
One to you.
I think Wittgenstein could have helped us here.
Yes.
We've been barking up the wrong creek.
Confusions arise when language is like an engine idling, not when it is doing work.
I had in mind his thoughts on the indefiniteness of a definition.
Imprecision is better.
Right. The imprecise nature of a definition around its limits, or even within them. Once that imprecision is accepted, one can speak of a definition being generally correct without having to define what one means by generally or correct.
Mm-hmm.
One can even speak of it as precisely true, so long as the definition of precisely is allowed a certain imprecision. But after all, how long is a meter?
Exactly.
Or not exactly.
That's what I mean. Precisely. We must never forget Wittgenstein.
You refer, of course, to Bert Wittgenstein, the plumber.
Oh, exactly. And by we, I mean, of course, everybody except jackdaws and parakeets.
And by never, you mean naturally until the 28th of August, 2012.
Squawk! Squawk! Oh, dear.
I wonder if they put any biscuits in the trough today.
Mm-hmm.
I just fancy a biscuit. Is it a tautology to say that a biscuit is biscuit-shaped?
Oh, that sounds promising.
Hello. Here's one. Now, is a biscuit with a bite out of it shaped like a biscuit or shaped like a bite?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. I was eating a biscuit.
Is a biscuit with a bite out of it shaped like a biscuit or shaped like a bite?
Ah. Mm.
Or both. Or neither. Or something in between. Must a biscuit baked in the form of a row of teeth not still necessarily be in the shape of a biscuit, since that is what it is?
Mm-hmm.
And should the twin indentations made by a vampire...
That reminds me of the mirror. If I looked in that mirror and didn't see anyone there, would I assume, A, I was invisible, B, the natural laws had gone on the blink,
mm-hmm.
C, I was deluding myself, or D, I was a vampire? Right?
Right.
And since I, with the rest of the generality, define the impossible as that which cannot happen, and since I put into that category any suspension of the natural laws, then I have to assume that I would not assume that the natural laws have gone on the blink. Unless, at the time, I was suffering from delusions.
Good.
By the same token, I'd not assume I was invisible, and a brief glimpse at myself would confirm my visibility, at least to myself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, would confirm, at least to myself, my visibility to myself. That disposes of the invisibility hypothesis. Since I eat biscuits, I am not a vampire.
You know.
This leaves the assumption that I'm suffering a delusion.
I don't
know what you're going to say.
Right.
No one can know they are deluding themselves. It's an error of the same order as knowing one doesn't exist.
Correct.
That leaves only one possibility. The whole bloody thing is impossible. You've set an unreal problem.
Oh, no, I haven't.
Oh, yes, you have.
Oh, no, I haven't. If I run past the mirror fast enough,
yes,
I can get over to the other side before the reflected light has time to hit me.
You can't run faster than the speed of light.
I could go into training.
If you're going to be flippant.
All right. I don't have to run faster than the speed of light. All I have to do is to make the distance from me to the mirror and back greater than the distance I have to run, and then run at something less than the speed of light, thus beating my reflection, which has further to go than I have.
Well, go on then, do it.
I don't feel like it.
Because it's impossible.
Not theoretically.
Well, do it theoretically then. Aha.
Right you are. I'll run across both ways, there and back, to cancel out errors in the system. Are you watching? Say now.
Now. Have you done it?
Yes.
Oh, that was quick.
It has to be.
Did it work?
Oh, yes. I'll do it again if you don't believe me. As soon as I Get my breath back.
There is no way I can prove you a liar, is there?
No.
Oh, I do enjoy our little flights.
Oh, yes, they are fun, aren't they?
Oh, squawk, squawk, squawk.
What should we do now?
Oh, don't rush it. All the time in the world.
Pretty basic fodder this morning again. That definitely cut him down, you know. We're not getting the biscuits like we used to. It used to be biscuits with bits of bread. Now it's bread with bits of biscuit.
Nothing wrong with bread.
No. Pretty light on the cuttlefish, too, lately. Have you noticed?
What's a cuttlefish, more or less?
Well, remember the genus Sapia, most commonly Sapia officinalis, more or less, and I'm partial to it, and we haven't had one for a week. It's not much to ask. As for the way cleaning up nowadays...
Oh, you don't know. You're born. That's your trouble.
I do. I'm not complaining.
Oh, sounded like it to me.
I wouldn't mind a bit of cuttlefish. That is all I'm saying.
What do you think it's like out there, eh?
I'm not talking about out there.
You think there's biscuits for the asking? Cuttlefish hanging from every perch?
I've no idea.
You'd be lucky.
As you know, I don't know a thing about out there. I've never been in a position to sample its delights.
Oh, yes, delights. Huh?
As you once did.
Once is enough, believe me.
Really bad, was it?
You've never told me anything about it. And how long were you out for?
It's not something I particularly want to talk about.
I mean, roughly, I mean, was it weeks or days or hours?
Weeks. Yeah, I mean days.
Well, what do you mean, weeks? You mean days?
It seemed like weeks. It seemed like eternity. I began to believe in hell out there.
Well, what was it like?
I've just told you. Hell. It was like hell.
It's an interesting use of language to say something is like hell. But by general consent, I mean, according to usage, hell is worse than anything on earth. Hell is always like the worst you can imagine, only worse. So that to say that an actual experience was like hell is to say it was like the actual experience, only worse. Which is like saying...
Oh, sorry. It was worse than you can imagine. That's why I call it hell.
Yes. In other words, it was like my hell. Since it carried the necessary connotation that it was worse than I could imagine. But it couldn't be like your hell, since having experienced it, you must be able to imagine it or remember it, which is the same thing, I think. I mean, remembering something is only like imagining something which, as it happens, has already happened. I mean, if you misremember something, which means you imagine something else than what actually happened, to you and anyone else who didn't know the actual course of events, you'll be simply remembering. You could say that imagining carries with it a creative component, which remembering does not. But suppose I say, I remember a bird with blue feathers. Can that really be said to carry more of a creative component than the equally unremarkable statement, I remember a bird with green feathers, even if the original bird had in fact green rather than blue feathers? So, that although you can tell me it was like hell, if I asked you, do you think it was like hell, you'd have to say, no, of course it wasn't. It couldn't possibly be.
I'm getting a little tired of this.
I'm sorry. I didn't know you were into 12th note. I must say, I prefer good old-fashioned chromaticism.
Yes, well, you know what you like.
Well, that ought to be a tautology.
Oh.
Oh, there's that friend of yours from down the road.
He's no friend of mine.
I thought he was. Ask if they've any cuttlefish down there.
Miserable bugger.
What's he say?
Terrible what's happened to him, how he's let himself go down.
No, what's he say about cuttlefish?
He hasn't looked. He says he's not opening his eyes this morning.
Why not? Is he ill?
Well, he says he doesn't see any mileage in it.
What's he mean by that?
Well, ask him yourself.
You know I haven't got the languages.
Well, he says he's seen it all before. Oh, piss off if that's the way you feel.
There's always one about.
Troublemaker? Oddball?
He doesn't know he's born.
No answer.
Over and out.
Well, what was that about?
I wouldn't repeat it.
Ah, wrap up, you. Go back where you came from.
Bloody minor bird.
Yes, I used to share a cage with him, you know, that miserable bugger.
What, him down the road?
Oh, we were great mates at one time. Used to have some marvellous discussions. Modes of being, the meaning of meaning. Really theoretical stuff, no rubbish. I was really upset when they moved me out. We carried on corresponding after I was put in here, but the joy seemed to go out of it for him.
Yes.
Started getting serious. He'd break off in the middle of a philosophical discussion to complain about the food.
Don't look at me like that.
And when he began to go on about the quality of life, I realized I had nothing more to say to him. He really got maudlin. I was getting to dread the sound of his whistle. It was getting me down. Then you arrived, and we hit it off together. I decided he could get stuffed. Yeah, I've hardly heard a peep from him lately. I don't suppose he can be bothered. Once you lose your positive attitude, you see, you're done for. It's the slippery slope. You don't last long.
Yes. I'd hate to see you go the same way.
No. What are you talking about? I mean, you're not comparing me with him, are you?
You're right if I speak frankly.
There's nothing wrong with a bit of a grumble now and then. Better out than in.
Well, may I speak frankly?
Go ahead.
Yes, well, I've had a bit more experience than you, you know, inside and out. Mm-hmm. I don't want to pull pecking order.
Go on.
As you say, there's nothing wrong with a bit of a grumble. A bit of a grumble. We all do it. Means of expression. The trouble comes when it begins to get habitual, when you begin to turn from the particular to the general. From not many biscuits this morning to biscuits are becoming scarcer. From they've forgotten the cuttlefish today to we don't get the cuttlefish we used to get in the old days. And it's not much of a slide from there to the quality of life is deteriorating, to life not worth living anymore, to I don't think I'll bother to open my eyes this morning, this week, ever again. And that's when your feathers start dropping out, mate. Hear that?
Hmm?
Oh, I don't know what they're thinking of to leave him there, putting out stuff like that. The rest of us have to go on living if he doesn't.
But what did he say?
Oh, I'm not going to translate. They ought to have a special unit.
How many days?
What?
Were you out?
You're a bit obsessive about that, aren't you?
No, I'm only asking. I'm interested.
Well, you needn't be. There's nothing you'd be interested about. It's a boring hell. It's a dull, boring hell.
Four? Five? One?
Two.
Only two?
What do you mean, only two?
Why, I just had the impression you were out longer than that. I mean, from the way you used to go on about it.
I never had gone on about it. You're the one who's going on about it.
I mean how you used to go on about not being able to talk about it.
Well, it's not that I'm not able to. It's that I don't want to. It's boring. It bores me.
And about what a traumatic experience and so on.
Well, it was.
I can see it was. Though I don't quite see how it could be traumatic and boring.
Oh, well, you put yourself in a totally boring situation for days on end and see if it's not traumatic and cold and lonely and
sometimes it's better to talk about these things, you know, bring them into the open. Any psychiatrist will tell you, rather than let them fester inside.
It's not festering.
No.
And sometimes it's a good thing to respect someone's wishes. If for some reason, like they're finding a subject boring, he doesn't want to keep going on about it.
All right, enough said.
You think 2 days wasn't enough?
It obviously was. I mean, more than enough.
No, you've ruined the atmosphere now, same as you did yesterday. Ah, put a bloody sock in it. Put a cloth over his cage, someone. Defeatism! You're off colour, aren't you?
I don't think so.
I think you are. You have been for some time. Yes, you eat too much. You don't get enough exercise. You're letting yourself go.
It's a slippery slope, you know. Take my word for it. I've seen it happen.
We're a lucky couple of buggers.
In what way?
In what way? In every way, don't you think so?
Well, I suppose we are.
Well, no doubt about it. Can you think of anywhere else you'd rather be?
But I don't know anywhere else.
Well, then what is it you want?
Well, nothing. Nothing.
Don't think of it. Every morning they clean out our cage, provide us with all the necessaries. And what do they ask in return? Nothing. They must be mad. We're free to do as we like. Can you think of a better way to live?
I don't know any other way to live. I've never lived any other way. I mean, better or worse.
Well, I tell you, we're in clover. Take my word for it. Think positive. Look on the bright side. Count your blessings.
I'm sorry I upset you.
Upset me? Not at all. Not getting much too serious. It's a great life. It's a great life. No offence.
No offence. No
offence.
No offence.
No offence.
No offence.
No offence.
No offence.
No offence.
No
offence.
No offence.
No offence.
No offence.
No offence. No offence. No offence. No offence.
Oh, we do have fun, don't we?
We do all right.
Oh,
yeah, that's given me an appetite.
Oh, intellectual conversation, mirrors.
Bells! And if we don't find the biscuit today,
we may find the biscuit tomorrow!
I know what I like is a tautology.
Oh,
yes. Or, I don't know what I like is a contradiction in terms. There's a lot of mileage there. Now, what do you think?
Well,
is it the meaning of to like? Can I be pro? And if not, how can I think about myself? Sadomasochism. Can it be said that a masochist likes what he doesn't like? Oh. And is this the same as to say that he doesn't like what he does like? Is a sadist who gives a masochist what he doesn't like, i.e. what he likes, still a sadist?
Good point.
What is it to know? Can one know what isn't true? He could take us right into psychoanalysis. Mm. The ego and the id. Not forgetting the star of the show, the super or double yoked ego.
Oh. <Very good. laughs>
What is the I that knows what which I likes? Oh, what do you think?
What are you doing?
What the devil?
What's the matter?
What?
Let me go! You pig, you bastard! Where are you taking me now? Let me tell your mothers before I pick a goddamn fingers off!
My word, Joey, we have a visitor.
Yeah. We have.
Always the possibility of the unexpected, you see. And hey, it's the opposite sex.
As opposite as could be, VV, I'd say.
Droit de seigneur here, my lad. Remember the pecking order.
Yes, I was complaining of a shortage of biscuits.
Let me out!
No, I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Bastard!
Oh, come now, madam.
Don't matter me.
Yeah, one of those.
Oh, sit on it. Let me out of here, you bastard!
Welcome to our little nest. May I say, on behalf of us both...
I think perhaps the first step has to be an examination of whether there's any real difference between I like something and I know that I like something.
Mm-hmm.
One says immediately, any statement predicates knowledge or the statement could not be made. At the unconscious, that is the unthought, unspoken level, the liking and the knowledge of liking are, as it were, of the same substance. It is only when the concept of liking comes into existence that knowledge appears, as it were, as a thing in itself. To state the concept is to state knowledge of it. The two are inseparable. But this being so, knowledge of this must also be, as it were, built into the statement of the concept. Thus to say, I like something, is to say, this is so. It is also to say, I know that this is so. It is also to say, I am telling you that I know that this is so. In other words, I am aware of my knowledge.
Yes,
and so on. Thus,
we find ourselves in a peculiar position. It seems that the carrying into consciousness of a concept as simple and factual as I like a cuttlefish produces of necessity, and as it were, at a stroke, an engagement with the processes of knowing, causing the original concept, cuttlefish is liked by me, to recede, as it were, further and further into the distance, as if viewed through a succession of mirrors. That is obviously a flaw here.
Yes. I think we're in danger of falling into a semantic trap, as Wittgenstein said.
You can stop that shit.
Now, look here, madam, miss.
You want your wing twisted.
Well, there might just be a bit of biscuit left in here amongst... Yes, look up. Very fine piece. Uh-huh. Almost complete. Have you had breakfast, miss, nurse? May I offer you some...
Yes.
Where are you going? Really? What on earth did you do that for?
Oh, shove it up your feathers.
They won't throw it back, you know.
A couple of institutionalized deadbeats. God. Out of the frying pan into the shit, wouldn't you know? Let me out of here! Do you call yourselves birds?
Now, look here.
What are you called?
Birds.
Your name.
Oh, I see. Well, I'm Joey. He's Tinker.
Oh, my God. I'm Joey. He's Tinker. What else?
Nothing else. And now, look, dear, I do think you...
You can call me Trixie.
Oh, Trixie. Nice name.
Oh, quit that.
Now, look, Trixie, I think we've all got off onto the wrong claw here. Now, I know it's an unsettling experience to be suddenly moved from the place you made your own into a strange cage, having to re-familiarize yourself, make new friends, as I sincerely hope we shall be before very long, settle into the new home. It's an experience that I've not had to go through for some time now, thank God. But I do remember very vividly the traumatic effect it had on me. So much so that I quite lost my head, as a matter of fact, and did something rather foolish, which I later bitterly regretted.
Was that when you got out?
I'm so sorry. But it did perhaps have one beneficial effect. I am, I think I can say without vanity, a little wiser, as well as a little older than I was then. After that experience, I've learnt to count my blessings, so that in a case like this, meeting someone in the same predicament that I was in then, I hope I can be of some little help in smoothing the way for you, making the transition less painful for you than it might otherwise be, you see. And I think you'll find that when you get used to things, you've fallen in with, a bad couple of cage mates in a bad little pad, you see. And,
what have you got, verbal diarrhea?
Beg your pardon? I think what Tinker's trying to say...
Oh, don't you start.
No, I do think that given the unalterable facts of the matter, a constructive attitude is really the
only... constructive attitude might tail.
Yes, we've got a tough nut here.
You let me out, you bastard!
Now stop that!
Yeah, stop me!
You tipped her with a chop! Tinker, I don't feel well. You're upsetting my friend, madam. He's not used to this kind of thing.
Yeah, well, then he better get used to it, and you too. Because this is the way it's going to be till they let me out of here.
But what's wrong with it here?
It's a cage, isn't it?
Of course it's a cage. It's a very pleasant cage. You won't find a better.
Look, I don't think you understand me yet. You said I'm a tough nut? I am. And I'm a stayer. I'm not one of your dilettantes. It's no hobby with me. It's a life's work. I don't give up. I wasn't long out of the egg when I set my sights on it, and I'm gonna stick with it till I get it or till I die. You bastard!
Oh, get what? Excuse me, I didn't quite catch what it is you're talking about.
It's just out of reach, always just out of reach.
Cuttlefish.
We're born without it, we live without it, we die without it.
Animal, vegetable, or mineral?
Oh, screw you, too.
No. Honestly, can you give us the first letter?
Can I give... I want freedom. What the hell do you think I'm talking about?
Freedom? You want it? I'm sorry, I... don't quite understand your difficulty.
Oh, my God. They put me in the psychiatric wing.
No.
Yeah,
no,
you
no,
can
no.
tell me. This is the psychiatric wing. They have put me in the psychiatric wing, haven't they? They have locked me up with a couple of screwballs, haven't they? Let me out of here, you
mothers! Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
I don't like this, Tink.
Tell me, Trixie, how long have you felt like this?
Oh, don't give me that therapeutic crap.
What are we going to do?
Well, I think we've hit a classic case of semantic confusion here, Joey.
You mean she, No, I don't understand. What is it she wants?
Freedom.
She wants it. Where does she think she's going to get it from?
Yes, right.
Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God!
Oh, God.
Leave this to me.
I'm sorry.
I don't give a shit if you're sorry or not. Leave me alone.
No, I'm sorry. I don't mean I'm sorry. You know, this comes of living too long in the same company. One dwells more and more in the substratum of the language, that kind of alluvial deposit in which we burrow heavily together, so to speak, making it our accustomed habitat until a strange creature taking up residence... No, the metaphor's not a good one. Look, I'm sorry. You want freedom.
Oh, God.
Now, I want you to pay very close attention, because I think we can straighten this thing out. Now, you want freedom. Now, let's split that statement into two parts. There is you with a want.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something which you are considering as separate from yourself. Necessarily, since to think you want it implies that you think you don't have it. Well, I know one can talk of wanting what one already has, as I want this cuttlefish, but I don't think that was your meaning. You correct me if I'm wrong.
Oh, God, I don't believe.
Yes, so there is you there, yearning for what you call freedom, and there is somewhere outside yourself, you assume, this, what? Thing. Commodity. Not a quality or condition, certainly. If it stands on its own, it must be clothed in its own form.
I'm not sure about that.
What?
Well, I admit one can't say, I want green, or I want long. One can only say, I want a green feather, or I want a long, a cuttlefish. On the other hand, one can say, surely, for instance, I want nobility.
But that is my point, Joey. The nobility one wants does not stand outside oneself. It exists, if it can be said to exist before one has it, as a potential within oneself, or as a concept, precisely. And the concept, of course, is one's own. The concept of freedom is one's own concept, which one already has. Now, the question arises, in what sense can freedom be more than a concept? And what is it, if it is more than a concept? Because if it is not more than a concept, and I don't see how it can be, as soon as one wants it, one already has it.
You dilettante shits. Look, I don't want to talk about freedom. I want to have it. I want to live it. I want to be it now. Now I want it.
Want to be it?
Oh, I can't stand this anymore. I'm a free creature. I want out.
You want?
Out. I want to get out. O-U-T. Out. Out.
Oh, you want to get out as well?
Out there.
Where the hell else is out?
My word.
Oh, but it's nasty out there, Trixie.
It's not. It's beautiful.
No.
It's marvelous. It's big. No, big is not big enough. It's enormous. There is no end to it. It's a cage with no bars. You can fly up on past the perches, past everything, up till your wings get tired and your breath gets short, and there's still no top, no bars. You can still fly on up, and there's nothing. It's freedom.
Oh, I see. You want outside. You want freedom. Freedom is outside. Outside is freedom. Ah. Have you been out there, Trixie?
No.
He has.
Yes, I have, for my sins. Oh, Trixie. Oh,
make me go away, Tinker.
I do. Hello. That's strange.
Bless you too, mate.
Well, I suppose it's one way out for him, poor fellow.
Oh? What's happened?
Oh, he's found God. Or God's found him. He wasn't too coherent.
He's done what?
Happy as a lark he is, whatever that is. Says he doesn't need a thing now God's with him. One way to deal with a shortage of cuttlefish, eh, Joe?
After all I told him, after all the work I put in? Oh, well, you win one, you lose one.
What do you mean? You were in there with him?
For a while, yeah. They move me around. They don't know what to do with me, you see. I'm a disruptive influence. They put me in a cage with some songbird. Doesn't take long before he stops singing. His feathers start falling. One day they'll let me go.
You think so?
Sure, they don't want my kind. They went to deadbeats, the songsters. Well, shit to that. I don't sing for their pleasure. They'll throw me out. You know what I've left wherever I've been? A trail of discontented hearts. That's good. You know what I'll do when they let me go?
Fly up into the great big nothing.
Yeah, sure, I'll fly up. I'll taste freedom, drink it, let it soak into my bones and heart. And then I'll come back. And I'll perch outside where they just can't reach me. And then I'll sing a real song, a song of freedom, a song of revolution.
Oh, dear,
I'll sing, what are you doing in there, you shit? This is life out here. This is real. Come out and get living. I'll drive you all crazy.
Yes, make her go away, Tink.
Freedom! 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 Liberty or death! Liberty or death! Liberty or death! Freedom!
Tink, Joe, I think I'm developing one of my headaches, Tink.
I want help!
I underestimated you. I didn't realize how serious this must be to you. You must be free, mustn't you? You must be set free.
Shit to talk! Shit to talk! Liberty or death!
Stop ringing that bell for a moment. Oh, thank you. Now, I have a plan to get you out. A practical plan.
Oh, yeah?
Well, you don't believe me. You don't trust me. It's understandable. Now, let me put my cards on the table.
Okay, shoot.
Oh, I see. Now, you are upsetting my friend, you see. I don't want that. Understand, my motives are purely selfish. Now, as you've gathered, we're nothing more than a pair of institutionalized twitterers, songsters, as you put it, deadbeats.
Mm-hmm.
Our cage provides us with a feeling of comfort. Security, relative well-being, which I know you find despicable. Now, we pass the time. This is our highest ambition. Not much nobility in that, I know. We fly our few feet now and then. The thought of more makes us uneasy. Birds with a fear of heights. It's quite ridiculous. But there you are. I did, as I told you on one occasion, sample the outside, what you call freedom, and found it personally insupportable. I tell you all this merely to indicate that we have sufficient motive to not want you here, if I may so put it. You disturb us. You disturb my friend, and I need my friend. We'd like you to go away. Am I being honest?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so that. If I can think of a plan to offer you a chance to escape, just a bare chance, then you can understand that I'm willing, for purely ignoble reasons, to help you carry it out.
Go on.
Now, you say they dislike you. You don't sing. You're a disruptive influence. Mm-hmm. They like us, though. We sing. We are model cage birds. Aren't we, Joe?
Oh, that's right. I mean, you'll get this cage a bad name.
Yes, exactly. That tricks it. Suppose an argument develops, a fight. One of us falls, seems damaged. You lie apparently insensible or dead by the cage door. Now, they come, wouldn't they, to protect their songbirds. Open the door. Reach in to rescue me as I stand squawking forlornly, nursing a damaged wing.
And away I fly.
And away you fly.
Mm-hmm. Or they reach in for me.
Well, yes, possibly. One can't be sure without trying.
Okay, well, what are we waiting for? What's to lose,
oh,
huh?
Oh, exactly. Now, come along, Dewey.
Well, I don't care again. Now, Trixie, I think if you stand
Here.
So that you can fall just beside the door there, and I stand here, so, Joey.
I don't like violence, Tinker.
Come along. It's only a game. We have to make it look real. Now, you stand behind Trixie, Joey. Hold her.
Yes.
Really. Oh. Hold her.
Now!
That's it. Now, I think we're ready, Trixie. I told you that this was a purely selfish act on my part, but I'm not sure that's entirely true. I should like to think you assumed there to be a small feeling of compassion as well, as a minor component.
Okay, let's get going.
Yes. Now, when I say now, let's start squawking. I'll pretend to have a go at you with my beak, shall I? Now, hold her tight, Joey. Ready? Now!
Squawk! 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 Squawk!
Joey, it's all over now. All for the best, in the best of all possible worlds. No offence.
No offence.
No offence. No offence. No offence.
Yes, but all the same, Tinker.
Well, she did say liberty or death. She'd have hated it out there. It's cold and open. There's no bread, no cuttlefish. You look up and there's nothing. It's open. There's no top to it. You find a corner to get in. You crouch in the corner. You think, nobody knows I'm here. Nobody will help me. And outside, enormous birds with raucous voices, rapacious eyes, tearing beaks. They wheel about, looking for something to tear. It's all open. Oh, she'd have hated it. And she couldn't stay here, could she? So what else?
Yes, I see that, Tink. It was a necessity.
An unfortunate necessity.
Yes. Though you know, Tink, there's a case to be made for considering the phrase an unfortunate necessity self-contradictory.
Really?
In the larger sense, surely, the necessary can never be unfortunate, since the concept of unfortunateness subsumes within itself, surely, the concept of multiple possibilities, some more fortunate than others, whereas, of course, by definition, necessity permits of no other possibilities, so that the concept of good or bad fortune can have no place regarding any necessary state of affairs.
Well, you've got a point, Joey. Or, looking at it another way, we say, this is unfortunate. As we might say, I regret the death of this
cuttlefish.
Cuttlefish, exactly. But then, one must examine exactly what it is one is regretting. What do I regret when I regret an absence? Am I regretting that the cuttlefish is dead, or that it is not alive? If the latter, is it not as logical to say, I regret that this cuttlefish has not been born? Now, you'll say, the specific to this can surely not be applied to a cuttlefish which does not exist. To which I may answer, how then can I regret the death of this cuttlefish, which also does not exist since it is dead? You see.
They'll take her away soon, will they?
Yes, I expect so. Any time now, Joey.
Good. Yes. But surely, Tink, you are confusing phenomenal reality with a subjective state of awareness. I mean, the non-existence of the object of desire does not forbid desire for the object which does not or does no longer or does not yet exist. As I might say, I regret not having blue feathers or a cuttlefish or freedom. And express as a subjective reality in so saying, even while the object of my regret has no reality in the objective world.
Yes.
Again, Wittgenstein can help us here.
Yes, bless his heart, yes.
Exactly. In other words, I suspect you are in a danger here of falling into the age-old trap of confusing reality.
Birdsong was written by James Saunders. Dinsdale Landon played Joey, Nigel Hawthorne Tinker, and Beth Porter Trixie.